trying to bring a better palliative care and end-of-life strategy that is trying to bring a better palliative care and end-of-life strategy that is positive and that affirms life and affirms the spiritual components that we all count on at those traumatic and sometimes profound moments of our lives.
An interview today with NDP Member of Parliament Charlie Angus, who's proposing a national strategy for end-of-life palliative care. In the news portion, the battle lines are being drawn over the closure of a private abortion clinic in New Brunswick. Stephen Woodworth fails to get unanimous consent for a motion to enshrine the idea of equal and inherent dignity of all human beings into Canadian law. An expressly Christian tribute to Jim Flaherty. You might be surprised where that came from. And Christian schools are under attack again, this time in Alberta.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
New Brunswick could be about to lose its only private abortion clinic. The Morgenthaler Clinic in Fredericton is going broke, and they say if they don't get some funding from the provincial government, they'll be forced to close the doors by the end of July. The announcement has precipitated a national petition drive to put pressure on the government to keep the facility open. This week, pro-lifers across the country are pushing back with an open letter to Premier David Alward, urging the province to hold the line and not provide the money. The letter has more than 125 signatories, doctors, lawyers, and pro-life activists from across the country. We Need a Law's Mike Schutten helped put this letter together.
When we saw on social media that abortion advocates were really organizing and that they potentially have rallies in Charlottetown, Fredericton, Toronto, Montreal, Ottawa, over the course of the next week, they're having rallies. We're like, we have to do something to show that as pro-lifers, we support this position that the government has taken. So we have various ways that we do that through the back channels to get a whole bunch of people together very quickly. So the letter really focuses on what they have in place, what's called the Regulation 8420. Essentially, this regulation stipulates that an abortion in New Brunswick will only be funded if it is performed in a hospital and if two doctors have certified in writing that the procedure is medically necessary.
Schutten says there's a fundamental principle at stake here about what kind of healthcare system Canadians really want.
While most Canadians are accepting of the fact that there are going to be privately run public health clinics, they certainly do not want their taxpayer dollars going to fund these for-profit operations. And essentially that's what we have in Fredericton. The Morgenthaler Clinic is a privately run for-profit health clinic that can't sustain itself, and that we see this as a good thing. If there's not enough demand to keep it open, that means that there's not enough demand for abortions in that province.
Bottom line, he says, the letter makes it clear, in kind of an ironic way, actually, that the professed goal of many pro-abortion advocates has actually come true in New Brunswick.
We end the letter by saying the closing of a private for-profit clinic shows, actually, that the pro-choice maxim is beginning to be achieved. Abortions are to be safe, legal, and rare.
A decision on future funding for the clinic is expected within the next few weeks. In other news, MP Stephen Woodworth lost his bid to have Parliament unanimously consent to a motion recognizing that Canadian law must be interpreted in a way that recognizes the equal worth and dignity of everyone who is a human being. Woodworth put the motion forward on the morning of April 10th, kicking off the debate with the question, who here wants to deny the equal worth and dignity of any fellow human being? Apparently some MPs did want to do just that. It was a voice vote, not a recorded vote, so we can't tell you definitively who, but some members did vote nay on the request for unanimous consent. That means the motion failed. You might not have heard about that vote result, though, because it was overshadowed on that very day, just a few hours later, by word of the death of former Finance Minister Jim Flaherty. His passing, just a few weeks after he gave up the finance portfolio, ostensibly to spend more time with his family, came as a huge shock to everyone in Ottawa, and to many across the country. There were a lot of tributes in Parliament, and one of the more expressly Christian ones came, perhaps surprisingly to some, from the leader of the Green Party, Elizabeth May, although she also felt a need to apologize for what she had to say.
Forgive me if I recognize that Jim Flaherty was a man of faith. And for those who are of no faith, please forgive me that I reflect that we part company now and enter into the break to observe the most sacred portion of the Christian calendar, where we go through Palm Sunday, Holy Week, Good Friday, and ultimately recognize that Jesus Christ broke the bonds of death and we celebrate resurrection. I hope that those moments will give some comfort to Jim and his family, because Jim Flaherty was a man of deep faith, and those of us of faith know that he is in, as they say, a better place, but the best place. Rest eternal grant unto him, O Lord. Let perpetual light shine upon him. Amen.
Flaherty was buried at a full state funeral at the St. James Anglican Cathedral in Toronto. A couple of other stories of note this week. In Alberta, quite a public furor over public money going to Christian schools again. This time the controversy is centered on the Prairie Christian Academy in Three Hills. They got about $7 million in public money for modernization. The school is part of the Golden Hills School Division. Turns out teachers there have to agree to abstain from homosexual relations and uphold the sanctity of marriage defined as that between a man and a woman. And students in grades 7 to 12 have to sign a statement acknowledging that the unjust will be everlastingly punished in the lake of fire. The Calgary Herald has called on the province to cut funding to this school and others who hold to these kind of traditional Christian positions. Liberal MLA Kent Hare claims the school's position runs counter to Canadian law. He claims that, quote, 15 years after the Supreme Court outlawed discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation, it's unbelievable that this is still happening. Ray Pennings at the Cardis Foundation wrote a response to Hare's comment last week. We linked to it from our website. A few key snippets. Pennings writes that in an earlier case involving the Teachers College accreditation at Trinity Western University, the Supreme Court rejected the argument that having a community covenant reflecting traditional views on marriage is in itself discriminatory. The court noted, Pennings writes, that the proper place to draw the line is generally between belief and conduct. And speaking of Trinity Western, some mixed news on that school's efforts to start a law school. The Law Society of BC has now given its nod of approval. Some board members with the society were clear they didn't like the university's community covenant, but they also allowed that their dislike of that document wasn't enough to justify denying accreditation. A few other provincial law societies have yet to rule on this. Meantime, there's another lawsuit over this. Toronto lawyer Clayton Ruby announcing he's going to sue BC's Advanced Education Ministry for granting provincial accreditation to the law school. University President Bob Kuhn issued a statement in response to that suit, saying they're going to move forward with plans for the school, and adding that he has, quote, become increasingly convinced that God has heard our prayers, and we will in due course open the first school of law at a Christian university in Canada. More after this.
On Thursday, May 8th, approximately 20,000 people, men, women, youth, and children, will be marching through the streets of downtown Ottawa for the National March for Life. Before the march begins, hundreds of Reformed Christians will be meeting at First Baptist Church at 140 Laurier Avenue West for a Reformed prayer service. This service will include a message from Tim Challies and pro-life training from Mike Schutten and Andre Schutten. Following the service, there will be bagged lunches for all those who pre-register. And the march begins down the street at 12 noon with opening remarks. We hope to see you there. Please note registration is required for those requesting a free bagged lunch. Please email me, Nikki, at nikki@arpacanada.ca. That's N-I-K-I at arpacanada.ca.
And we're back with the interview portion of the program. On the line is Charlie Angus, the NDP Member of Parliament for Timmins James Bay. He's joined us from his office in Cobalt, Ontario. Mr. Angus, first of all, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Here to talk this morning about your bill for, it's called Motion M456 to establish a national palliative care strategy for across the country. Can you talk to me a little bit about, first of all, what it is and why you decided to bring this forward?
In 2011, we had an all-party committee, so Conservatives, New Democrats, and Liberals working together on the issues of palliative care, and they developed a fantastic report. And the number one recommendation for this report was the need for the House of Commons to establish this cross-Canada palliative strategy. The federal government doesn't deliver palliative services. These are delivered through the provinces and through other territories. But there are parts of the country that work really well and other parts of the country where it's very difficult to get good quality service. So what we're looking at with a strategy is the feds can work with the provinces and say, what are the models that work? How can we improve health outcomes and support families in times of need? Which is, you know, when you have a loved one facing an incurable illness, it can put an enormous strain on a family, on the individuals, and the palliative solutions, we call it the common sense solution. It's staring us in the face, yet we've had very little political conversation, very little attention to it. So I'm hoping this motion will kickstart that conversation and move politicians to take some positive steps.
How does this link to the issue of euthanasia, if at all? I mean, Mr. Fletcher has his assisted suicide bill. That's coming before the House as well. These two issues both deal with end-of-life situations, and they take rather radically different approaches.
I think one of the things that I find concerning, I don't have a problem with Mr. Fletcher bringing his bill before the House. These are things we can debate, and I think we can debate them as adults. I think his bill is highly problematic because there's many, many subjective elements of his bill that, for example, if you feel that you have psychological stress that is unending, that you should be able to go to a doctor. And, well, you know, anybody who's suffering depression or PTSD could claim that. So there's problems with his bill. The difficulty I see, there's two elements. One is that most Canadians have no idea what's out there in terms of palliative services and how palliative is actually not about death. It's about affirming the life of people who are suffering and working with families. And we really need to have this conversation before we have the other conversation. The other element that I think is a little concerning is in terms of national media, there's a lot of talk about the assisted suicide because it's one of those sort of hot-button issues and it immediately draws all attention. But the common-sense solution, the solution that people need at family level and hospitals, what the medical community is calling out for, that doesn't seem to get the same level of attention. And I'm hoping this push through Parliament will help change that.
I'm looking on your website here, and you say 456 needs cross-party support. You need basically you've done the count here. You need the Liberals and you need 25 Conservative MPs. Are you at all confident that politically this is going to pass muster in the Commons? It is a free vote.
Well, we talk about free votes in the House of Commons. They rarely happen. Certainly, there were 30 Conservatives who supported the all-party work on the strategy, and I'm hoping to have them come out. I've had about 10 Conservative MPs tell me, yes, count on me, I'll be there for the vote. So it's still early days. What I'm concerned about is the government actually not supporting this, because this is a government that's very wary of anything to do with federal strategies working with the provinces. Mr. Harper, since the death of the Health Accord, has really signaled an unwillingness to have the federal government play its traditional role of working with the provinces and let the provinces do their own thing. So there's a lot of backroom negotiations going on attempting to water down the motion, but I feel that the idea of a strategy is what I'm hearing from the healthcare community, it's what I'm hearing from citizens and what I heard from my colleagues and all the other parties. So I'm hoping on the night of the vote or the day of the vote that we have enough people stand up for what's right, and this could actually be a very positive move in a parliament that's been a lot of negativity.
Are you getting a lot of grassroots support outside of sort of the political arena? Are there a lot of people that are coming forward, irrespective of political affiliation, to say, you know what, Charlie, you're onto something here?
Well, I think we all agree, outside the bubble of Ottawa, that dealing with the death of someone very close to us, it has no party affiliation. We all deal with this. We all deal with the need to try and find better ways of handling these moments. It's been really edifying to get out on the road and meet people. The conversations that we've been having on this have been very profound, and I've learned so much. We've got all the medical organizations across Canada on board. We've got the cancer organizations. We've got the pharmacists, the people who do the work in the long-term care homes. We're now getting the religious community coming out. And it's not just to get the political support for the motion, but I'm really convinced if we can get this conversation happening in general society, we're going to be much better off as a country, and we're going to actually be able to make some positive choices about how to deal with some very, very profound and sometimes difficult issues.
So what can regular folks do to support this motion and this cause going forward?
This is really going to come down to average people saying, you know what, I support the vision of palliative care and support helping families have the opportunities to do the right thing when their loved one's dying. Contact your MP. Email them, call them, ask to meet with them. If MPs hear from their constituents, when they hear from the grassroots, that's when they know they need to be accountable. This might not even be on the agenda or radar of some MPs yet, but if you make that call, it can have a remarkable effect. And again, we don't need every member of parliament to stand up, but we need enough. And once we get this passed, then we begin the work of trying to bring a better palliative care and end-of-life strategy that is positive and that affirms life and affirms families and affirms the spiritual components that we all count on at those traumatic and sometimes profound moments of our lives.
Vote still scheduled for May 14th?
Yeah, we're looking, I think the second round of debate, it'll be the first week of May and then sometime that next week. So that's when this is all coming down, and so get on the phone, start emailing, write your MP. It does. The voice of ordinary citizens makes a huge difference on a vote like this.
Mr. Angus, thank you very much.
Great being on the show. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
This has been Lighthouse News, shining the light of biblical truth on today's current events. Production Manager, Mark Penninga. Technical Director, Nate Bosher. Questions or feedback, email info@arpacandidate.ca. Be sure to join us again next month for another edition of Lighthouse News.